Testing. Here we go. I'm doing. I've already split my personality into two. Talking to my imaginary friend and me. Sorry. I'm doing The Way Back. This is my walk and talk. My name is Thomas Pape. And apparently I'm a bit confused today, because I'm jumbling everything up. So, bear with me. Let's walk and talk some words. It's actually a really quiet, nice day today. I was just about to follow an impulse, thinking that it would be nice to take a walk in the forest today, but I do have to get some work done. So instead I'm out here walking behind the gym on the asphalt, and it's too bad that already now, because I've been like circling around the work environment for a few days, I'm starting to make decisions based on how to optimize my time and prioritize doing things efficiently instead of doing them right. But here we are, we're committed, and I'm walking. Jesus, why are we suddenly a we today? Now you don't even know if there's anyone listening. Maybe there is, maybe there isn't. Who knows? Okay. So today's topic, I think, or at least where we will start. Jesus, what's with the we today? Today, I'd like to start by talking about fear. Because my therapist explained to me that I am trying too much to be accountable for other people's feelings and try and judge whether or not what I'm doing is negatively impacting other people or causing other people to get into a conflict with me. And one of the things that I was told was to try and judge my own physical state and try and figure out if I can listen to my body and where does me begin and where does the need to please others start. And to be perfectly honest, I do sincerely think that that is an amazing approach. However, for the past year or so, I've been walking around with a constant feeling of chest pressure and raised shoulders. So if the goal here is to search for and identify subtle changes in your physical state, I kind of need to unwind that physical state before I can judge any other, because it's just really difficult when there's this constant feeling of pressure, and that's the only thing I can really identify. Or at least, if I'm supposed to look for subtle nuances, I have a feeling that those nuances are hidden behind that constant feeling of pressure caused by anxiety. So it's a bit of a conundrum, right? It's like to stop feeling anxiety all the time, you should try to identify what your body is telling you, and your body is telling you that there's a constant pressure of anxiety. Great. So how do I unwind that? I'm making you accountable for my journey. That is not fair. Sorry. How do I unwind that? I think, sorry to circle back. I'm sorry if I'm rambling a bit today. My thoughts are a bit all over the place. I think somehow, somewhere, a component of fear is causing the anxiety and the feeling of pressure in my chest. And now fear is a very general term, right? Fear of not being good enough, fear of getting into a conflict with someone else, fear of doing things wrong or being at the wrong place in your life, fear of not accomplishing the goals that you've set out for yourself. There's a lot of fear. Let's circle a bit. I think about a week ago, I very, very briefly mentioned that my therapist told me to go listen to the teachings of a guy called Ram Dass. And I've been doing that for the past week or so. Haven't really spoken about it because I didn't really know if this was just another spiritual leader talking about their own journey. And he might be. And it was just interesting because I was listening because he tried to do a radio show at once and it ended up a podcast because he never managed to do the radio show. So there's a finite amount of recorded talks from him because he had a stroke and he lost the ability to speak properly. So there's a finite but fairly extensive amount of recordings that he did. And just one little thing he said, which tied into this whole like conundrum that I'm trying to unravel, is that as a person, if you don't fear, if you're perfectly happy or satisfied with where you are and what's happening, you stop fearing for yourself or something like that. I mean, obviously he's a very spiritual person and he's a very accomplished, like, I don't know what he calls himself, guru, spiritual leader, whatever. So he puts it into words that are extremely beautiful, and I'm guessing that's why a lot of people listen to him and why he himself have found his way through his own mess, because he wasn't a big mess. Anyways, like the idea of fear like that, like the anxiety and the fear that I'm dealing with, that it's all internal. It's all coming from me. It kind of puts things in perspective a little bit, because if I walk around being afraid what other people might do to me or cause me to experience, then I can be afraid for the rest of my life, because like I've experienced, like trying to put my antennas out a little bit more this past 2 weeks, is that even though I try very hard to predict the future and judge the outcome and try and follow through with my intentions, there are so many things in life that are out of my control that if I try and control everything and figure out, okay, this is the path I have to walk to feel happy, then if something happens that make me diverge from that road, that makes me extremely unhappy. Or if by going the opposite direction and saying, okay, I'll just go with the flow, do whatever, I'll be in the moment and not have a plan whatsoever and just see what happens, and then I end up losing my sense of self and just bending over backwards because I have to do what other people feel that I should do. So there's got to be some sort of middle ground of like having a direction, but allowing that direction to change without feeling that you've been turned around and are walking backwards. And without being afraid what other people might do or what you might do to other people to cause them harm. Obviously, I mean, I don't think I advocate going around hurting people, at least not intentionally. Another thing that was interesting, sorry, I just listened to his podcast while working out, so I'm guessing that's why some of his, like Ram Dass's points are coming up in this podcast, audio talk, walking, whatever I'm doing. One of his points, Jesus, now I lost it. It was right there in front of me. Why am I trying to... Ah, my brain is weird today. I feel like I'm trying to make a point, but that makes the point fly away. Because I suddenly intend to go in a certain direction, but by doing so, I lose my direction. Perhaps that is a key to finding that middle ground. If I intend to go in a direction, I lose the direction that I'm supposed to go, because I can't see it, because I've already chosen. But if I just walk in the direction that I'm meant to go, I might end up somewhere that I'm not interested in being in. Where am I going? All I think, I mean, that the roadblocks right now are that I'm scared of choosing a road to walk down, because it means closing off other roads that are also interesting to walk down. And I can't walk down all the roads at the same time because I can't, I'm only one person. But if I start walking down a road not knowing where it'll go, and it'll lead me to somewhere that I don't wish to go, Will I regret not going down one of the other roads? And what if the road that I'm walking on isn't happy that I'm walking on it? What if I step on something and it causes harm? So by actually walking on the road that I've chosen, I unintentionally cause pain to someone else. I think the circle back is that, okay, if we dumb it down to walking on roads, I'm guessing the best I can do is to walk on the road with, not with caution, but with respect. Like, if I walk on the road being mindful of the road and being respectful of the road, I walk in a way that is good for me, and hopefully the road won't mind. Or if I unintentionally do step on something that causes pain, then at least I did it respectfully. I think the analogy doesn't really work. Because right now, I'm basically saying that other people are roads meant for me to step on. And I don't think that's fair. I think, because also, like, to walk on a road, you have to step on it. And you will eventually wear it down. So if by thinking that the only way forward is to step on others, I'm guessing eventually you'll come to, like, not necessarily hate yourself, but really, really not feel like this is worth it, because you feel like you're wearing everyone down and you're stepping on everyone all the time. Maybe the best thing to do is to just not walk. But people aren't roads, and you shouldn't step on people. So maybe this is just the wrong way of thinking. Like, maybe the road that I'm walking on, like the analogy road, the metaphysical road, is time. Because you can't walk down the same road twice. I mean, obviously you can walk down the same stretch of road two times or multiple times, but by walking on it, you change it. you set footprints, you push some dirt around, step on a leaf. Next time you walk down the road, it's different. So in that regard, roads are time. And you can't walk down the same road twice, also because the next time you walk down the road, you have changed. And because you have changed, so did the road. The road is now observed differently. So if roads are time, and we experience time linearly, which most roads are linear, but winding and uphill, downhill, whatever, then picking a road means experiencing something in time. And walking down the road means that you are experiencing time passing by. And from that regard, if you stop walking, the road is still there. And in a way, okay, now we're getting into some serious shit. The road is still theoretically, like, the whole stretch of road goes from one end to the other, which means time has not stopped. It is still there. But the path and the way you choose to move on the road changes with your pace. Kind of like how sometimes time stands still, or it speeds up, or and all of this is caused by you moving on the road. You are the way you choose to walk on the road determines how you experience it. Kind of like time. And if you choose to run down the road or walk really fast, time will move by in that manner. But if you stand still and observe the road, time changes. Your experience of time changes. Time doesn't change. Time is there. But the way you observe time, the way you move through time, changes. And by observing time or the road, by taking off your shoes and being present on the road, you ground yourself in the experience and you don't just move through time, you are in time, you are with the time. Now, if that analogy holds true, picking a fork in the road means that you choose where you want to go in time as well in space. Okay, so let's follow that thought. So basically, making a decision in life means that you now have an option of experiencing something or another. Now, standing at the fork in the road and looking forward, you might see a little bit down the road. Kind of like me trying to set an intention for the day or judge what's going to happen if I do something, but I cannot look very far down the road. I don't know which forks are coming. And I don't know if this road is going to be difficult or easy. if there's going to be flowers and rainbows and unicorns, or if the road is going to have dragons and thorns and difficult rocks to climb over. I usually don't know because I can't see that far down the road. So the best I can do is to pick the road that draws on me, right? This is like, you stand in a forest, you look at a fork in the road, you can see a little bit forward, but you don't know if that's going to change down the road or if this is just where it's going to be. It might be that the roads look equal. And you choose, and there's no signs, right? You don't know where the roads are going to lead. You know, right now I'm walking and there's roads and some of them have signs and some of them don't. Some of them have signs that mean zero to me. They have a name. There might be numbers on the road sign. They mean zero to me. I actually don't know what houses are going to be on the road, what industry is going to be on the road. And also, I don't know if there's going to be other people on the road or cars. So, I'm guessing we're back to like, okay, if we're back to feeling. You use your gut feeling, right? You don't use your head, you use your gut feeling. Like, I have a gut feeling that this is going to be the road for me. And this is so funny, right? Because especially if you're standing in a fork in the road and there's no signs, there's no indications of where these two roads will lead or what's going to, how these roads are going to be to walk on, you rarely use your head. You use your instincts, you use your gut. And all of those are situated from the neck down. Like, that's where your instincts are. That's where your feelings are, right? Because your thought process is up in the head, but your feelings are down in the body. And whoever is on these roads, like, let's just put people there because people are fucking people, right? So if other people are walking down the road, they might walk with you for a period of time, and they might choose different roads to walk down on. But the fact of the matter is, the way you experience the road doesn't change other people's way of experiencing the road, and you cannot change their perspective. I mean, you can choose to share how you are experiencing the road. You can encourage people to try and see things your way. You can have a nice conversation with people that aren't necessarily about the road. And if people walk at a slower pace, you can choose to lower your pace to match their speed if you feel like walking with them, or you can continue on in your own pace. And if there's a fork in the road, you can choose to follow these people down the forks that they choose. But by doing so, you stop listening to your gut feeling. You let other people dictate where you should go and what you should experience, instead of trying to use your instincts and try and figure out what is best for you. Where where does your body lead you? And in a way, if we are afraid of walking on the road, if we are afraid of listening to ourselves and using our instincts to choose how fast or where we go on these roads, we automatically lose touch with ourselves and hand over that power of where we're walking to someone else. And from a altruistic point of view, I'm guessing, there is absolutely nothing wrong with saying, I don't wish to choose where I walk. I wish to follow your lead. Because I wish to stay close to you and experience what you're experiencing or observe how you are experiencing the world. But by doing so, you abandoned your own journey. And I'm guessing the fear of choosing badly or what comes down the road eventually leads you to stop listening to your own instincts and keep jumping to others to either save you from the difficult roads, or you just have started being, you've experienced bad roads, which means that you're scared of making those decisions yourself because you're scared of what roads lie ahead. And you want someone else to navigate. But people tend to stop helping and stop navigating for you if they don't like your company. So you do whatever's necessary. You adapt your pace to their pace. You say anything you can to please them, afraid that they might leave you on your own. And in all honesty, there are millions of roads. And if you stop walking at your own pace, if you stop listening to your gut feelings about where you should go, you also stop looking at the road. Because all you're trying to do is trying to stay with whomever you have chosen to lead the way. And even though you did this out of self-preservation, to not stumble and fall and have a hard time on the road, you stop looking at the road. And that's sad. That is really sad, because it actually means that by choosing to not walk on your own, or not necessarily on your own, but the way you want to walk, you're not even noticing. You have no idea where you are right now. And you have, I mean, let's take this that way. You have shoes on. You don't even feel the ground anymore because you're afraid of stepping on something that causes your feet to get dirty or wet, or you step on something painful. But it also means that your feet are not touching the ground. Ever. You put clothes on to shield you from the wind and the rain. You stop looking at the world that you're walking through because it matters less where you're walking than self-preservation by bending to others' will to make sure that you're A, not walking alone, and B, walking down a path that someone else has curated for you. So how do you stop doing that? I'm guessing you start paying attention to the road. Start by noticing where you're walking and notice if you're the one choosing the direction and the pace. Don't change it. Just notice. Don't take any crazy forks in the road right now. Just observe. Observe and reflect. Where are you? And what's going on around you? Because if you're like me, wearing shoes, trying to please other people all the time, you're actually not walking on the road. You're a few inches above, trying desperately to walk the way that other people feel you should. That other people feel that you should walk. Good. So, let's end it here. Pay attention. Notice if you walk fast or slow down the road. Notice if you're picking turns and directions that other people are telling you. Or if they're not even telling you. Maybe you're just choosing to follow. But then notice where they're leading you. Notice the pace. Notice the surroundings. Look at your feet and the ground. Pay attention. All right. If you've been listening, thank you. This was a weird one. Let's not put too many words on that. But if no one's listening, at least this will be safe in my pocket. And I'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.